Yes, Melody and Bianca. The house caught on fire, and they're trying to find a place to relocate at this point in time. And so continue to remember them and that situation there, certainly. Sister Rachel. All right. Brother White. Yes. I think she was 12 years old. Was that Isabella Erickson, who died as a result of ATV accident and over the July 4th weekend. So let's continue to remember the Erickson family in prayer. Goodness. That is the Hunter family? Hunter family. Just remember the Hunter family in prayer, certainly. Certainly. I know there are some that are up at camp meeting tonight, and pray for their safe travel to and from. My wife and I and our family is planning to head out tomorrow and hopefully get there for a portion of tomorrow night service and then Friday night as well. So pray God's hand of protection upon us as we travel. Why don't you stand? Yes. He broke his... Oh. All right. And what's his name again? Cranston. All right. All right. Well, we'll certainly remember Cranston in prayer. Thank you, Zoe. Certainly. Why don't we go to the Lord in prayer right now? Dear Jesus, we love you. God, we thank you for the opportunity to come before you in prayer, believing, trusting in your power, help, and move. To intervene in any situation and circumstance. God, we thank you that we can come to you, that we can pray, God, concerning these things, God, believing and trusting in you. God, we pray for the Hunter family, lost loved one, Lord, for the Erickson family, God, to be a comfort in the midst, God, of losing a child. God, you are able to give peace and help and strength in the midst of circumstances such as those for Melody and Bianca, God, and trying to relocate. Lord, I pray that you would open the door for them to find good, stable, God, place to be, God, Lord, and a residence. God, we thank you, Jesus, that we can come to you, God, that there is no care too big or too small, no concern, God, that we have that does not in way, shape, or form concern you. God, we thank you that we can come to you. God, we can believe and trust in your power to help, Lord, for little Cranston. God, we know, God, that you're able to help. God, let the healing process of his leg continue to go forth. God, we thank you, Lord, for John Kellum. We bring him before you in prayer, believing and trusting in your power, God, for those who may be traveling to and fro to camp. Lord, we know that your traveling mercies will be upon them, Lord, and we thank you that we can come to you, believe and trust in your power, your ability, God, to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or even think, according to the power that worketh in us. We love you and praise you and thank you. We give you glory and honor for who you are and what you do. In your name that is above every name, Jesus' precious name we pray. Jesus' name we ask. Everybody said amen. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. Do want to let you know we've had last couple Sundays have been a little bit of a miscommunication with the whole bread. So we're going to do Bread Sunday this Sunday. So there will be bread. I know it's been on the newsletter and just it's nobody's fault. It's just a reality of what happened. The first Sunday we had the July 5th picnic weekend. So but this coming Sunday will be Bread Sunday. So we're giving you a couple weeks in the month of July to catch up. If you have been reading and keeping, you are, I can say this with the utmost confidence, you are more than halfway through reading the Bible if you've been keeping up with your Bible reading. And so we always want to encourage that, and we want to acknowledge that on Sunday. And regularly scheduled services Sunday morning and Sunday night. And then a week from this coming Sunday night, the 26th, a very special service. We're going to have the Scullies, up there, Sullies, I'm not really sure how you pronounce it, but they are missionaries appointed to French West Africa, and they are going to be here in service with us, sharing their burden and what God has called them to do in the work there. They have been aimers. They've been they've pastored a church. They've done quite a bit in within the scope of ministry. And God is calling them to this appointment there in French West Africa. And so we are going to have the opportunity to hear their burden, and that's a week from this coming Sunday night. Also, I would ask you to continue to remember in prayer the camp that is going on, family camp that is happening this week. District conference was Monday and Tuesday, and then family camp beginning tonight and going through the end of the week. We are going to continue in our study tonight. We've been talking about the value of values. We've been talking about the different values that we as Christians should have, should hold, should not just profess, but that we should find value in. Those things that many times the world has either devalued or they no longer hold to high esteem like we as Christians do. Values, principles, things that are in the Word of God. And initially, the first lesson, we talked about the value of values in a very general sense. Then we talked about the value of the church and how the church is valuable. We talked about how the church is the greatest organization, the greatest institution in any community is a truth-proclaiming church. And then last week, we talked about the value of serving, what it means to serve, why it is valuable to serve, how that, according to Matthew 25, it is those that are willing to serve, those who have a servant's heart, that will be considered, according to the Word of God, those that He will separate and those that He will have in everlasting pleasures forevermore. And so we talked about the value of serving. And tonight we're going to kind of bring it back around to kind of one of those things that, yes, it is certainly a biblical principle, certainly a biblical concept. But the subject of morality, morality in a very general sense, is pretty large, and there's a lot of things that fall under what morality is, and we will talk about morality in more of a general sense. But I don't know, maybe some of you have seen something that recently surfaced on social media, and then some of the national media picked it up. It was one of the top doctors from Planned Parenthood. I don't know if some of you have seen this or not. One of the top doctors in Planned Parenthood, there was some individuals that went in posing as representatives for tissue companies. And the reality of it, I don't know, it's a very disturbing video to watch, because this woman is casually talking about the selling of fetal tissue and fetal body parts for profit, and how that they go about extracting fetuses in certain ways in order to maximize the potential of getting certain organs and certain tissues from the fetuses. And as I watched the video and then heard about it on some national media, I begin to think, my Lord, what evil. For people to just casually talk about that over a meal. And for her to, I don't know the lady personally, I can only speak to what was revealed there on the video and how she casually talked about what is, in my opinion, and what I believe according to the Word of God, is the murder of innocent children. And how it was almost like just a casual conversation, as if they were talking about finance, as if they were talking about medicine, and it disturbed me to the core, in the sense that the world has become, and I'm not taking the whole world and judging it according to this one individual, this one instance. What I'm saying is that for anybody to have that type of conscience that is completely seared, and to talk about that in such a way, it just disturbed me. I just, sometimes you get that icky feeling. You're just like, ugh. And it happened as a result of that. And so I begin to think about the values that we have, the values that we as Christians support, and we look at according to the Word of God and say society should hold to these standards. Society should have these morals that are presented in the Word of God. The reality is society does not. Many of the morals, many of the things that we hold, that we find value in, society has, if not devalued, altogether done away with. And that's scary, because if you read the Word of God and you see the end result of that, it's very obvious. We are not advancing. We are not going forward. And I know you say, well, in science and modern medicine, and we're making some natural advancements, if you will, but we are making some horrible, horrible spiritual digressions. And so it's incumbent upon us as the church, it's incumbent upon you and I, to not just sit idly by while stuff happens. Not just to say, well, that's just the way society's going, that's just the way society's doing. We've got to almost, you know, for every action there needs to be an equal and opposite reaction. We need to have an action that says, you know what, I'm not content. I'm not okay with society just going this way and me not saying or doing anything about it. There's something that has to rise up inside of me that says, listen, I'm going to show and I'm going to prove in my lifestyle that I value things in life, that I value what the Scripture says, that I value things like morality. So let's look at a passage of Scripture that I want to be the focus of this study tonight. It's found in Isaiah 5:20. It says, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. As society is further blurring the lines and the distinctions between what is right and wrong, and what society is often defining as right or good, we can look at the Word of God and say, no, that's not right and that's not good. That's not beneficial to us as a society. It's not even beneficial to us as individuals. What society is saying is right and is good, we can look in the Word of God and say, wait a second, some of those things are evil. Some of those things we know are directly opposed to the principles of the Word of God. And some of those things, and some of the things that society is acquiescing to and society is allowing to happen in our day and age, they're not even shades of gray. They're not. They're spelled out in the Word of God. And it's as if they are following after the course of this verse of Scripture. The prophet Isaiah said, Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. And so I want to talk about the value of morality in today's world. And I know you say, well, we're a church, we should value morality. Yes, we should. We're a body of believers, and that should be one of the values that we hold. Yes, it is. The problem, much like with some of these other studies that we've talked about, is that society has taken morality and they have made it subjective. And I want to get into that a little bit, but let's talk about what morality is. Let's define morality. What is morality in a very general sense? Well, there's a couple definitions that I want to talk about. Beliefs about what is right behavior and what is wrong behavior. Essentially, what's right, what's wrong? What is morality? What is the distinction between right and wrong? Well, that's morality. Principles concerning the distinction between right and wrong, or good and bad behavior. Finally, a code of value to guide one's choices and actions in accordance with what is right and what is good. See, when we talk about living a life according to the Word of God, when we talk about being a Christian, when we talk about walking after the things of God, there should be some distinctions. And not just distinctions in our appearance, there should be distinctions in our choices. There should be distinctions in our behaviors. There should be distinctions in what we allow ourselves to entertain. There should be distinctions in what we are a party to. Why? Because there has to be a moral code. There has to be a sense of value that says what the Word of God says is right, what the Word of God puts out there and propagates as being what is beneficial and good for me is in fact beneficial and good for me. It is good for me to follow the principles of the Word of God. It is good for me not to go after my own way of thinking, but to look at the Word of God and to have the Word of God be what guides my choices, what gives me the decision-making ability to make decisions concerning myself, my family, my future. All those things are according to the Word of God, how the Word of God sees it. How does the Word of God guide me? How does the Word of God give me direction concerning these things? So let's talk about morality and what I would call subjective morality. To be subjective means based upon or influenced by feelings, taste, and or opinions. See, society has made morality subjective and consequently it's lowered the standard, decreasing its value. Society has made what morality is come down. Society has taken the standard of morality and it has lowered that standard of morality so that the person that we would consider to be a moral person nowadays, years ago, wouldn't have been considered a moral person. A couple believers in the house. What society says is okay now, years ago, society said, no, that's not okay. Society said, no, that's not some, that's wrong behavior. That's not right behavior. That's wrong. But you see, society has made morality subjective. It's not set according to the standard of the Word of God. It's set according to opinions and taste and feelings. And so therefore, morality has become subjective. Morality has become whatever is moral to me is what is moral. Whatever is moral to you is what is moral. And as a result, you have all these different opinions and you have all these different tastes and you have all these different feelings about what is right and what is wrong. And then you have a government that is acquiescing to all these different things and trying to appease everybody and tolerate everything and accept everything under the auspices of its moral. Just because it is legal does not make it moral. I'll say that again. Just because it is legal does not make it moral. Even in the Word of God, the Apostle Paul went so far to say, listen, all things are lawful unto me, but not all things are expedient. All things are lawful unto me, but not all things edify. All things are lawful unto me, but not all things profit. What is he trying to say? Listen, you need to understand there has to be some distinction in our mind and understanding that it is the Word of God that sets the standard, not what society says, not even what society legalizes. Because just because they legalize it does not make it moral. But yet, there's a lot of people and there's a lot of opinions and there's a lot of taste and feelings about what is right now, that the Word of God says that's wrong. The Word of God says it's wrong. Now, I know I've harped on this quite a bit, and I know it's been something that's been in the news, and I know it's something that I'm very passionate about in the sense of standing against it. But the Bible talks about it pretty specifically. The Bible says that the men, in the last days, the men shall leave the natural use of the woman. And I begin to think about that. I went back, and I looked at the passage of Scripture, Genesis, that talked about what happened when God judged the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. And something jumped out at me, and I think that we're all adult enough that we can talk about this in such a way that nobody will be offended or giggle or any of that sort of stuff. It's the Bible doesn't sugarcoat anything. The Bible puts it out there. The Bible talks about Lot and his family. And the Bible talks about, I just couldn't wrap my brain around what Lot was willing to do. These angels come and they visit him, and the Bible says that the men of the city, they're scratching at the door, they're trying to get in so that they may essentially rape these men, commit sodomy with these men. They're struck with blindness and they are still trying to find the door. But here's the thing that really jumped out at me, is that Lot goes as far as to offer his own daughters. He offers his own daughters. Now, please understand where I'm coming from this standpoint. And please don't think ill of your pastor. But I tried to put it into a natural landscape. I tried to think, what natural man in his right mind? I think you know where I'm going. What natural man in his right mind would refuse the natural use of the woman and be so burnt up in his lust for the same sex? The Bible says it. And now we're taking something that God judged cities for, and we are legalizing it. We are taking something that is black and white in the Word of God. There is no argument. And the fact that they are making homosexual Bibles by which they are taking verses out. Hello? Hello? Revelation tells me if I take anything out of the Word of God, my name shall be taken out of the Lamb's Book of Life. I thought to myself, wow, what an immoral society we have become. When we can't look at something that is so simplistic in Scripture, something that is so, it's obvious. It's not even something that there's much conjecture about. So much so that they have to take verses out of the Bible to make it a homosexual-friendly Bible. Wow. Let's talk about this. How else has society decreased the standard for what it means to be a moral person? Here's the crowd participation. Somebody. How else has society devalued what it means to be a moral person? Anybody? No? Good thing I'm teaching. I'm sorry? How has society decreased the standard for what it means to be a moral person? Okay, but think about it in this sense. What is allowable in society today, or that is acceptable as normal behavior, that, let's say, 50 years ago wasn't accepted as normal, other than what we've talked about in the sense of same-sex marriage, that sort of stuff. Purity. Society has devalued purity. They have forsaken abstinence, they've devalued abstinence, and they've put value with contraception. But that's not what the Bible says. That's not a biblical standard. The biblical standard is abstinence. The biblical standard is purity. But what society says is that purity's not really for us in this day and age. Purity's not really something that we can live by and according to. So what we're going to do is we're going to take purity and we're going to say that's not really possible. So let's value contraception. And as a result, we have the mess that we have now. Great point. Anybody else? Living together. Yes. Yes. Another one. Abortion. Another one. Anybody else? Brother White? Faithfulness. How about this one? How many restaurants 40 years ago would you have been able to go into that served alcohol? Very few. If you did, it was called a pub or a bar. Now, I understand what I'm saying. I grew up in a town that for a while, Sundays were dry days. They had enough respect for Sunday that you couldn't buy it on Sunday. There were dry counties that you couldn't buy. You had to drive to another county if you wanted to buy liquor on a certain day. Don't see that much anymore. Every now and then, there's some counties that still have it. What are you saying? What I'm saying is that do you understand how it's degraded and how what used to be valued and what it used to be valued that there was family dinners. There used to be value that you had family time. There used to be value when you would do stuff together as a family. And now careers are valued and advancement are. And it's not that those things are wrong. It's just that we've gotten things out of perspective and we have started valuing things that are really not valuable. And we've taken those things that are valuable and we've devalued them. And morality is one of those things that society has taken. And what was the standard for a moral person 50 years ago is not the standard for a moral person today. What morality or what is considered to be moral in the sense of moral living today would not have been considered moral living 30 years ago, even in a natural sense. And so it is incumbent upon, that's why we cannot let morality be subjective. We cannot let morality be what society says or what our own feelings are or what our own tastes are or what our own opinions are. Morality is not subjective. Morality, what is right and what is wrong, is according to the Word of God. This passage of Scripture, it's found in Deuteronomy 12. How about this? This is
the Lord speaking through Moses, and it's about the time that the children of Israel are going to go into the promised land. God has given them the law. He's given the commandments. He says, these are the statutes and the judgments which ye shall observe to do in the land, which the Lord God of thy fathers giveth to thee to possess it. In days that ye shall live upon the earth, ye shall utterly destroy all the places wherein the nations which ye shall possess serve their gods, upon the high mountains and upon the hills and under every tree. And ye shall overthrow their altars and break their pillars and burn down their groves with fire. And ye shall hewn down the graven images of their God and destroy the names of them out of that place. I begin to think about this. Obviously, when you talk about the commandments, you talk about the commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And God was very, very plain in his dislike and his abhorrence, if you will, of idol worship. But again, to think about this, why would God command them, not only in the sense of tearing down the representation of these false gods and as they went into the land to tear these things down, but I begin to think about it. What was it that caused these people to erect these gods, to build these altars, to build these high places? And the reality is, if you do a little studying, you'll find out it was people who got together and based upon their own opinions, their own feelings, their own desires, made gods. They made what was right or what was wrong subjective to their own taste, their own opinions, their own desires. And so they begin to worship these things and worship these gods. And these gods were based upon how they felt or how they thought life should be lived. And the code was based upon what they thought or what they believed or what they perceived to be right or wrong. So God said, listen, when you go into the land, you've got to destroy those things that represent a subjective morality. You've got to destroy the things that represent man's own opinion about what is right and what is wrong. You've got to go in and you've got to tear down those gods that represent something other than the standard that I set in the Word of God. These are my statutes and these are my commandments. Those gods represent other statutes and other commandments and other service that is not... It's not in accordance with my will. It's subjective according to their own interest. How do you say, well, how do you know all that? Well, look at this. Deuteronomy 12:8, just a few verses down. He says, ye shall not do after all the things that we do here this day. In other words, today's a turning point. Today's a turning point. Here's why. Because till this point, every man is doing whatsoever is right in his own eyes. Everybody is living in accordance with subjective morality. Whatever is good or right in accordance with them and how they feel and their tastes and their opinions and their feelings, that stops today. That ends now. No more will there be in my people who serve me a subjective morality. You're going to live according to the statutes and the principles that I have for you. It's amazing. The Bible tells us the commandments of the Lord are not grievous. They're for our benefit. They're to help us. They're to give us the guidance that we need. Guidance, so because guess what? Based upon my own intellect and my own understanding, I can't decipher really what is right and what is wrong. I don't know. See, whenever mankind bases right or wrong or morality on something other than the Word of God, calamity results. Time and time again, see it in Scripture. Start doing what's right in their own eyes, living according to their own interest, going after their own lusts, doing their own things, and guess what? Calamity happens. That's why it's no mystery why individuals with understanding of the times are stepping up to podiums and saying everywhere, we're headed in the wrong direction. We're doing wrong things. The measure of morality must be a standard set by the only one who is good. Catch that. See, the reason why morality can't be subjective to my feelings or my opinions or my taste, the reason why I can't decipher on my own, based upon my own intellect and my own understanding, I cannot decipher what is right and what is wrong. Why? Because I am not good. Paul said, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. So I just, you know, my heart says this and my feelings are this. Listen, you can't trust your heart. You can't. I wrote my nephew a card when he was graduating from high school. And I told him, I said, Chandler, people will tell you to follow your heart. I said, buddy, don't follow your heart unless it's after God. Because this world tries to get people to base morality upon their feelings and their heart. And, well, that just doesn't feel right to me. Or just, that doesn't feel wrong to me. It's not about how it feels to me. It's not about my opinion on the matter. Morality is not subjective. Morality is an absolute that is set forth in the Scriptures. And if I'm going to be good, and if I'm going to do good, well then, morality has to be a standard that's set by someone who is good. And there's only one who is good. Matthew 19:17, and he said to them, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one. That is God. And then he says this, but if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. Why? Because the commandments are given by the one who is good. It's the reason why we refer to the Bible as the good book. Why? Because it sets forth what is good. It shows us how to live a good life. It shows us how to be a moral person. Society's definition of morality will change. We know that. We can look back years and say morality's, or the definition of morality is subjective. It has changed over time according to society. But guess what? The standard that is set forth in the Bible has not changed. Why? Because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. There's no variableness, neither a shadow of turning. What he disapproved of back then, he disapproves of now. And just because society says it's okay, or society says you can be a good moral person and still do those things, if they are not in accordance with the Word of God, I absolutely cannot be a good moral person and live outside of the standards and principles of the Word of God. It's an absolute impossibility. Think of all the moral standards set forth in the Bible that society has devalued. Think of all those things that the Bible presents as good. Things that we hold in the Scripture as to be evident of someone who is Christ-like, someone who is going after God and the things of God. And those things are, even in society's eyes now, that's been devalued. For you to be someone who is a Christian, even the term Christian is becoming almost like a dirty word to say that someone would profess Christianity, that someone would be a Christian, that someone would call themselves after Christ. And I thought to myself, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. They put light for darkness and darkness for light, and bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them. Woe unto us as a nation. Woe unto us as a society as we do exactly what the prophet Isaiah warned us about. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. I never thought I would see the day. Never thought. I know. This is just bold and blatant. I never thought I would see the day that homosexuality would get more public persuasion and opinion and appeal than Christianity. But folks, we are living in those days where what is immoral and what is wrong is considered good, and what is moral and what is right is considered bad. Some of the most liberal and unrighteous schools of thought come from sociology and social sciences. I remember in college, and this is almost 20 years ago now, I remember one of the most upsetting classes I had and one of the most liberal professors that I had, and a woman that I hope she repents and God saves her soul. But as even now, this is almost 20 years ago, and just the type of thinking that was involved in sociology and the social sciences just boggled my mind. How in the world can we be so liberal and so unrighteous in our view of what is moral? And then we wonder why we're in the mess that we're in. We wonder why we're dealing with the woes of societies that we have. Tell you why, because we haven't heeded Isaiah's woe. Have we stopped back and said, you know what? Wait a second. Maybe this word that we're saying is archaic and outdated, and maybe that's the very thing that can save us. Maybe that's the very thing that can turn us around. Maybe we need to abandon all these other things and look back at the perfect law of liberty and say, maybe this is the law that should govern us. Maybe it's the word of God that should be the one that we look into, that we find what the standard is. Maybe it's the word of God that should be the moral code that we all live by. And I'm sorry if that doesn't agree with your opinion. And I'm sorry if it doesn't agree with your feelings and your taste. I'm sorry. Your morality is not subjective. So it's not about what you accept or what you don't accept. It's not about what you tolerate or what you don't tolerate. It's about what thus saith the word of God. It is the standard for what morality is, and I value what morality is. And so I value what the word of God says. I value morality. I value what it means to be a moral person. Morality must find its standard in Scripture. Must find its standard in Scripture. Individually, collectively, has to. Why? Look at Proverbs 14:12. There is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. I can without hesitation say we are headed in the wrong direction. As a society, as a government, as a nation, we are headed in the wrong direction. Because we've taken the value of morality, what it means to be moral, devalued it. Look at Ecclesiastes 12:13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. It's the whole duty of man. Two things: fear God, keep His commandments. Fear God, keep His commandments. We live in a world that no longer fears God. And they don't want His commandments. They have taken standard of morality and they have devalued it. So we as a church have got to say, wait a second. I'm not like them. I don't live like them. I don't act like them. I don't do what they do. I don't go where they go. I don't accept what they accept. I don't tolerate what they tolerate. Why? For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. What's the determining factor? It's not my opinion. It's not my feeling. It's not my perception. Whether it be good or whether it be evil, has to be aligned according to something that is the standard. And that must be the word of God. Closing, you can stand to your feet. As a Christian, someone who professes to live after the things of God, my morality, your morality, it has to so far exceed the standard of society, because the standard of society is not what morality is. The standard has to be set according to Scripture, and so I can't base what I do and how I live upon my opinion, society's opinion, what they legalize, what they don't legalize, they say is all right. They don't, no. It's got to be based upon the Word of God. We've got to value what the Word of God says is right and what the Word of God says is wrong. Let God be true and every man a liar. There's only one that's good. He sets the standard for what is moral, what is right. And I want to live a moral life. I want to be a moral person. I want to have integrity and character. And guess what? If I will do it in accordance with the Word of God, I can't help but stand up and stand out. Because folks, as the world and society falls further and further away from God, I've got to do everything in my power to get closer and closer to Him. And as I go that way and the world goes this way, the separation becomes larger. Because I value what the Word of God values. I value morality. I value what is good. And so my life's choices and my life's decisions will be based upon what the Word of God says, not what society says. Lord Jesus, we love you. God, I know I speak to precious people. God, I know I am, in a sense, preaching to the choir. I realize that, Lord, but I pray, God, as we see society fall further and further away from you, biblical principles and precepts, standards that are set in your word, God, I pray in our heart and our mind there would be no compromise. There would be no even in our heart, God, a consideration of doing anything other than following your word, your will, your way. That we would live victorious over this world. That we would live, God, separate. That we would come out from among them, God, in a multiplicity of ways, God, to show ourselves approved unto you, God, not caring what this world says and what it appeals to and what it says should be right and wrong, but looking at your word and saying, Lord, I want to pattern my life after you. I want to study your word. I want to see for myself and pattern my life in accordance with your word. We love you, praise you, we thank you, we give you glory and honor for who you are and what you do. In your name that is above every name, in Jesus' precious name we pray. Everybody said amen. God bless you. You may go in Jesus' name.